I know what you're thinking. Labor Day on the farm is just another day for labor. But take a break for a bit. Look around. Enjoy the fruits of your labor, your family, the lifestyle you are living, the enjoyment that you get from what you do.
From Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we've got Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson, to talk iron. Then it's Caitlin Bizanette from the University of Missouri and from Iowa State University, Greg Tilka. And in the final segment, a very special holiday edition of the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, Davis. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day, buddy. Summer's over. That's all she wrote.
Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
The kind of summer that it's been, let's move on to fall. Let's
you're
roll the dice.
Willing to do that?
See what fall holds for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, you do remember that I did take a class at Iowa State on meteorology.
Seems like I remember something
you
about
remember
that. You
remember somebody talking about that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. In that class, because this was such an advanced level class that I took, we learned about Indian summers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one of the mistakes that some people are making out there, and I'm very quick to point it out to them, because I've been educated on this.
You're an educated man, is what you are.
I am. I have been educated on this, so I'm very quick to point it out to them. When they say, boy, with the maturity of this crop, we sure need an Indian summer. No. No, we don't want an Indian summer. And do you know why?
Why would we not?
Because an Indian summer only comes after the first killing freeze of the season. Yes. Yes. So we do not want an Indian summer. What we want is a late start to the fall.
Okay.
An extended summer into the fall months. That's what we want.
Do they have a name for that? Is there a title for that? I don't think they've named that.
I think I want to go with something like a Davis distraction.
Oh. I was thinking like maybe Harvester's Delight.
Oh.
You could call it.
I like that. I like that. It needs to be something like that. Oh man, I tell you though. Welcome. Welcome everybody to the show. We've got some great conversations for you today, including, you know, we talked at the open. I said something about enjoy the day. Okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Enjoy, you know, remember that you enjoy the enjoyment that you get from what you do. One of the guys that on the show today, Greg Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about enjoyment from what he does. That guy, and you never want to use the old cliche, living the dream, but.
Right.
This guy loves iron so much, and he loves what he does so much that, yeah, he's kind of living the dream talking about what's going on in these markets.
And he's almost as big a celebrity as you are, Chip, from what I've experienced.
Whatever. <Stop it. laughs>
Maybe even more so.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know, last week down at the Farm Progress Show, Decatur, Illinois, if there was ever an opportunity for a group involved in an industry to just pack up and go home or, you know, keep their ball and not go out for recess or whatever you want to say. This is one of those years where it'd be awfully easy to say, I'm just going to stay home. And they didn't, Davis. The first and second days, Tuesday and Wednesday, of the Farm Progress Show down in Decatur were exceptionally well attended. And that showing up is one thing, but bringing with them the attitude that they brought, it was uplifting to just talk to people that have got a smile on their face, talk to people that know that they are in a battle. And they're there with other people that are in a battle. And everybody knows that we're all fighting the same fight and trying to get to the same point.
Right.
And to gather together like they did and have the attitude that they had, I thought it was just inspiring. It really was. I mean, I hate getting all sappy with people, but it really was. It was just kind of it recharged my batteries.
Well, good, and that's excellent because, you know, if you look at it on paper for the landowner newsletter, I just put that out last week for August. We detailed findings from the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank and the Chicago Fed, and both of them were talking about declining farm incomes, and you know, they sort of project out to the third quarter, and neither one really saw. I guess what I'm trying to say is there are excuses out there if you're looking for them to be down in the dumps,
right?
And to
right.
see,
it's hard to ignore the light at the end of the tunnel.
It is. Yeah. And to hear you speak so positively about people coming together, and maybe it is that misery loves company. Maybe it's solidarity. Maybe, you know,
could
who
be.
Knows? We're all in this together. Whatever it was, man, it sounds like Farm Progress was a great demonstration of the spirit out there in farm country, the indomitability of the optimism that reigns on the farm. Indomitability.
Yeah. Say that again.
Indomitability. I'm not sure if that's a word or not.
Wow. We may have to get out Mr. Webster and have a conversation and see if
he's got
that. No, that could be in the Davis edition of Mr. Webster.
Hey, that's not bad. I should have my own dictionary. Yes.
Good. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, family, friends this weekend. What do you got going?
All of the above. All of the
nice.
Above. Going to get some chill time. Going to get some grill time.
Nice.
I had some steaks marinating overnight.
Okay.
And I can't wait to throw those puppies on the grill. We're going to get
take
right
them
to
out of the pool
quick.
And into the fire, huh?
That's right. Yep. might soak a few ice cubes while I'm at it. You know, it's hard to know.
Very good. Yeah. Well, those flavored ice cubes sometimes are the best.
Mm-hmm. They certainly are. They're way better than the plain.
Yes, we're doing the same thing. We are doing the same thing, spending plenty of time with family and friends. And with the way that this summer has gone, this is the first opportunity in weeks that we've had to sit down and visit with family and friends. So I'm going to take advantage of it. You know what? Dare I say, I am taking advantage of it at this very moment.
You may be, and you don't even know it yet.
That's right. That is so true. Oh my goodness. So we worked hard putting this episode of AgriTalk, this Labor Day episode.
Yeah.
Of AgriTalk together for you. Davis mentioned it at the end of today's show. You guys are going to get a flavor of what we do every Friday afternoon on AgriTalk in segment 4.
Yep.
And that is the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report that's coming to you in a special edition on this Labor Day. And coming up next, we've got Machinery Pete. And at the bottom of the hour, this is one of those things, soybean cyst nematode, that after a year like we've gone through, we had to do an update. We just simply had to do an update on what to expect out there and how to battle what is a real pesky pest out there in those soybean fields. So stay with us on this Labor Day edition of AgriTalk. We're looking forward to it. Coming up next, we've got Greg Peterson right here on AgriTalk.
Mark Hubler is the BASF U.S. Soybean Agronomy Lead.
I think it's a really exciting time to be a soybean grower right now because of all the new innovation. In 5 short years, Credenz has become the 10th most planted brand in the U.S., and that's really exciting for soybean growers because we can offer over 75 varieties nationally and over 30 varieties in the Midwest with the new technology, LibertyLink GT27. This technology really provides a lot of flexibility when it comes to weed control in soybeans, and so growers will have more flexibility when it comes to the decisions they make from a crop protection standpoint. It's going to fit a lot of different acres, and so that's really what we're trying to accomplish with Credenz LibertyLink GT27, is to find that precise variety that fits the grower's need. The best place to go for more information is to contact your local BASF seed agronomist or seed advisor. These are the experts in the field that can answer the questions that you may have.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Happy Labor Day, everybody. That's it. Summer's over. Calling into it. No, doggone it, I don't want to do that quite yet. There's hopefully, we've still got some warm temperatures and some good weather coming our way yet this September. It's Monday. That means we always have a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, sitting right next to me right now. How are you today, bud?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Doing well.
Good. Here's the deal. We're sitting down at Farm Progress Show. This was last Wednesday, and we had a great time at Sullivan Auctioneers.
We did.
The guys down there, they do a great job hosting us, putting us in a place where we can have all kinds of conversations. And here, I've got today's conversation kind of laid out.
Okay.
And then a conversation just happened right in front of me, and I can't ignore it. I've got to jump on this, and I'm going to start our whole conversation with this. Because a gentleman, and it appeared to be his son, stopped and said a couple of years ago, they were here in Decatur, mm-hmm. watching you film a Machine Repeat TV show. And at that time, they may have asked you, what's the trend? And you said, well, it's only going to get more expensive from here. And they went out and acted on that piece of advice and got the piece of equipment bought that they wanted to get bought. So I'm going to ask you and lead off with that, what's the trend from here?
Well, I think it was interesting, Chip, that was a combine. The guy, Bob from Northwest Illinois, had purchased, and he loves AgriTalk, so we enjoyed talking about that. But it was a Q&A session 2 years ago, and he was needing a combine, and but his wife was hesitant. She wasn't buying the fact that now was the time to act.
Right.
And I'm hesitant. I mean, I'm a Scandinavian boy. It's uncomfortable for me to stand up in front of a farm audience and say, hey, you should do this, you should do that. I mean, that's not necessarily who I am, but I've got 30 years looking at the data, and at the time in 17, it felt to me, reading the tea leaves, like it was a good time to be aggressive. So it's sort of embedded, we've talked about it, Chip, but it's a theory of opposites.
Yep.
When people are pulling back, it's actually the time to be aggressive.
Right.
And I think farmers, it'll resonate, you know, with land prices over the years. But, 20 years ago, if I could have got that, it seemed high then. But so with machinery, I think, you know, the inventory levels on dealer lots have shifted over the years, and 2 years ago was a great time to be a buyer, and we've actually seen that in 2018. Used combine values rose. So what Bob was saying, I was glad he wasn't mad at me for the advice, but he was saying, I think you're right. And I think going forward right now, it's so interesting because it's such a challenging time. You know, we're coming off crop tour and all the emotion and everything. And there's this the Chicken Little attitude out there, which we totally understand.
Yeah.
But here again, you know, this is what I love about the brutal honesty of these auction pricing. It doesn't matter what I think, what you think. The number, it sells for what it sells for. So we're sitting here at Sullivan Auctioneers. They had a big sale it was Friday and Saturday, Hamilton, Illinois. I think they sold like 20 combines, late model stuff. And I heard the chatter before the sale. People are like, oh, my God, you know, this is all these combines. This is going to be tough.
It's going to be a real test.
Yeah, well, okay, the chatter is chatter, but now let's see how they sell. Well, the fact is, you look down, and I'm not blowing smoke. These numbers were a little bit higher than the going rate. Now, the reality here, I think, Chip, is when times are so tough like this, what it does, it focuses buyer attention on the used market, but in particular a couple areas of the used market. And what the people want, just like Bob said here, he bought a combine from our good friends at Berkey's, a great KSH dealer in Illinois there. And they had a beautiful machine, low hour. He knew it was priced right, and he jumped it. He got a great deal. And I guess, again, not that I'm telling you what to do, but when, particularly with dealers, I mean, there's volume there. And now you have to look forward and you say, well, okay, the manufacturers now are starting to pinch in production further. In fact, Deere had a statement, I don't know, it was 2-3 weeks ago, and you understand why they're doing it. They'll trim production of tractors and combines. Well, okay, this is why you're sitting here right now, and if you look at the dealer lot, there's X number of used machines, 2, 3, 4 years old. You can't assume in a year or two there's going to be that many sitting there. So if it's priced right, and we've seen so many, you know, if you follow my social media trail, so many farm auctions around the country, nice machines. We just saw a record S670 in Ontario. We talked about it last week. It sold for $313,082 U.S. So it's all about quality, and it's a fascinating market to track.
That's the trend that you've been talking about through 2019. Every week when we talk, you talk about quality. You talk about low hours. You're talking about a piece of equipment that when somebody spends money on it, they're going to have confidence that when they get in it, it's going to do the job that they want it to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, repair bills are expensive and getting more expensive on the new stuff. So if people are buying that 1 to 4 year old machine, they want the best one to minimize that risk. Or if it can be under warranty, you know, we see auction prices shoot higher if it's under warranty. And then if you drift out again into the, you know, that 8 to 10, 12-year-old stuff that's really nice there, that stuff, even in this challenging market, is it seems weird to say, but the good stuff is actually going higher.
Going up in value.
It is. Now, again, I have to report on the whole market. So, I mean, the stuff in average condition is sliding a little bit lower. It is what it is. So here in the Midwest, you know, your listeners, Chip, you know, the pride of ownership, you know, taking care of your equipment, it's a contrite little saying, but the fact it pays to take, I mean, it really pays to take good care of your stuff.
There's a return on it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, interesting looking forward, the number of dealers is, of course, shrinking rapidly, consolidation. So now you're sitting there as a farmer going, well, I'm going to have fewer options when I want to trade this in 2, 3, 4 years. Okay, well, what can you do to be proactive? Do everything you can. Which is why I tell people to get drone video of their planter rolling in the spring, the combine in the fall, so that when you want to sell it private, maybe on machinerypete.com or take it to a great auction company, you've got the visual history to make your planter or your combine pop and make it get that premium dollars.
Come to life.
Make it
come to life. That's right. So that trend that we've been talking about, that's going to be your dominant trend as we get into the new auction season, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm really interested here because historically, July, August, September has tended to be a softer time for values. Yep. But and now we have all these challenges in the market, all this uncertainty, but the good quality stuff is bringing top dollar. So not that I like to predict, but again, we're drifting into the busy buying season, November, December here. And I would say, too, Chip, the other trend we're following is the number of you know, retirement auctions with just incredible quality, late model, low hour. It's all, I've never seen it like this before. So it's definitely keep an eye on that.
Well, you know, you think about those guys that are retiring right now. They went through a period of time not that long ago where they were seeing revenues per acre like they had never seen it before. And they might have thought to themselves, doggone it, I've got about 5, 6, 7 years left. I'm going to do it in style, and I'm going to do it in a brand-new combine. I'm going to do it with a brand-new tractor because they could afford it, because they could afford it. Well, now all of a sudden, the late-in career equipment purchases are going to be coming to the marketplace.
Right. Yeah, I mean, 30 years tracking auctions, I've never seen the flow of late, such 1, 2, 3-year-old stuff at a retirement sale. But that's the reality, and that's what we're seeing. And, again, so far, the good condition stuff, low hours, is selling really well.
Yeah, okay. Leasing issues. It was an exceptionally popular option for a lot of growers. I don't know if it's still as popular as it once was or not, Greg.
Well, I think it has ebbs and flows to it, but 15, it took off like a rocket. It just took off. I mean, dealers at the time were stuck with too much late model stuff. They couldn't take your combine in on trade or tractor, so the leasing was perfect. The grower got the machine under warranty. It was fixed cost. You didn't have to be on the hook on the back end. But now it seems like it's actually taken off again. In fact, I was in Joplin, Missouri 2 weeks ago with a dealer event, and one of the fellas was talking about he's never done so many leases. So long term, I'm wondering, I guess I don't know, curious what your listeners think, but are we changing a deep-held mentality of, you know, pride of ownership? You know, this stuff is so expensive now, and leasing keeps it under warranty. You're off the hook for repairs. Are we changing our mindset?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
I tell you what, it's always fun to sit and talk with you, Greg, but when we start talking bigger pictures and long-term and the trends that are impacting the markets that you cover, I got to admit, those are the conversations that
fun.
I really enjoy.
Hey, I love this stuff too, and it's you know, we might not always be right about what's coming down the pike, but it is fun to talk about.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much. That is Greg Peterson. You guys know him as Machinery Pete. All right. When we come back on this Labor Day, we've got plenty to cover right here on AgriTalk.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. And an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Labor Day. I'm Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady with this special holiday edition of Markets Now. Markets and government offices are closed for the holiday, so I'm taking a look ahead to key factors markets will watch in September. Corn and soybean traders will be focused on weather coming out of the holiday weekend. Given the delayed maturity of both crops, warm and sunny weather is needed to boost crop development. An early or even normal end to the growing season would be devastating to a good portion of this year's crop in the Corn Belt. Unfortunately, forecasts call for cooler temps this week across the country's midsection, but warmer temps may arrive by the second week of September. Based on what we saw on Crop Tour last week, some of the most immature crops will need until mid-October to reach full maturity, so the weather focus will be high for weeks. Futures currently have no weather premium built in, especially the corn market, so a weather scare should be price supportive. Funds are also net short a sizable amount of corn and soybeans, but it will likely take a crop or weather scare to spook them out of their short stance. Livestock markets will be focused on whether demand can keep up with supplies. A lot of the focus will be on exports. It's hoped that the U.S. and Japan will finalize a trade deal sometime this month that will boost exports to what is already one of the top markets for U.S. beef and pork. Domestic demand for beef and pork is solid, and consumer confidence remains high despite pressure on the stock market and budding recession concerns tied to the ongoing trade war between Washington and Beijing. For Markets Now, I'm Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast that's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. And I got to tell you, this next topic was put back on my radar screen about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. And it's something that, since I first talked with Caitlin Bissonette, that I've been paying closer and closer attention to. Caitlin is with us right now. Caitlin is a plant pathologist at the University of Missouri. How are you, Caitlin?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. It's good to talk with you again.
Yeah, good to see you again.
All right. Also with us is Greg Tilka. He is a nematologist at Iowa State University.
Yeah,
go Cyclones.
Right. Go Cyclones.
Yes. It's good to talk with you, Greg.
Well, thanks for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you guys educate me a year ago, Caitlin, and then all of a sudden I see all this flooding and the heavy rains and the soil moving everywhere, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I know what's going with those floodwaters. The soybean cyst nematode is going with them, right?
That is correct. So really what the problem is this year is soybean cyst nematode floats with water and it moves with soil particles, and so all that early season water movement that we had and that soil that has moved from field to field means that soybean cyst nematode has moved with it.
Yep.
So numbers have either gone up or gone down in those fields where water has moved through. So right. It's going to be important to think about sampling and management a little bit differently in those areas.
You know, the big message, and I think it was actually, I think it was 2 years ago, because I feel like we were right here at Rabo when we were talking last time. But At that time, it was all about sampling. Get out there and know the level of problem that you've got. And now I think it's got to be sample, because you need to know if you've got a new problem in different areas of the field.
That's right. Last year, sampling was a challenge because we couldn't get into the field because we had a lot of late season rain.
Yeah.
And so that was the first obstacle we had. And now this year, sampling is going to be that next level, because early season rains moved a lot of that soil, and now the numbers that we may have gotten last year or had in the past are not necessarily going to be reflective of what's going on now.
Right. You know, Greg, battling these things and getting the word out like the Soybean or SCN Coalition is doing, That is number one critical, to make sure that everybody out there understands that you probably have got a problem.
Right, right.
You know, and the problem, is it at different – how do I ask this question? Is it consistent across the Corn Belt, or does it vary?
It varies, but you shouldn't think of it as varying. I say – if you think you have a little bit of SCN, it's like being a little bit pregnant.
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
No such thing.
Yeah. And so farmers will be much better off if they catch it when numbers are relatively low. It's way easier to keep low numbers low than it is to drive high numbers down. But the wild card in all this is soybeans can look perfectly healthy in fields that have soybean cyst nematode.
Right.
And you could get yields of 65 bushels per acre in fields that have soybean cyst nematode if there's adequate rainfall. And if you're bringing in 65 bushels, you're not asking yourself what went wrong, but
right.
you could have got 72, 73 if right. you knew you had the problem and you managed it. So it's a little bit like high blood pressure in humans. There's lots of people walking around that have it and don't know they have it.
Yeah.
And once you get tested, then you know you've got it and you know you have to manage it with multiple different things.
Right.
So it's a pretty good analogy.
You know, and with as tight as margins are, that extra 7 or 8 bushels per acre, Greg, makes a world of difference.
It's free money. Yeah. It's free money.
Yeah.
If they manage what they've got, the problems they've got.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, Caitlin, let's talk about management. We know that we've got a problem on our farm because we've sampled. What do we do next?
Really, you got to think about management as a threefold process. You have to think about what soybean varieties do you have available, what resistance genes are there okay. in your area, what types of rotations are you using, and what types of seed treatments might you want to consider as part of your management practices.
Right.
It needs to be an integrated approach. It's not just doing one thing to manage SCN. It needs to be an active management strategy.
Right. Right.
And with, if I can interject, with continued sampling in future years to monitor your progress. So there's the analogy with high blood pressure again.
Yeah.
You do multiple things. You stop drinking, you lower your salt intake, you exercise, and then you still have to take your blood pressure every once in a while to see, are you making progress? Are you keeping things in check? So
she's
perfectly correct in all those things. It's a multiple prong approach with continued monitoring.
All right. So back to the plant side of it. Is there any visible evidence that you can see just by standing at the edge of the field and looking out across it? What do you look for?
Sometimes there are symptoms for soybean cyst nematode infestation in a field. Sometimes you can see stunted plants, yellowing, especially you can see some yield loss in some parts of the field. But oftentimes you will not see symptoms in a field when you're looking for soybean cyst nematode. What you really have to do is dig up plants and look for white females on the roots.
Okay.
And that really comes 30 days after planting at the earliest, because that's when females start to appear.
Okay. Greg, is there any, I mean, can we apply some kind of an insecticide or a nematodecide or whatever you would call it to take care of these things?
Nematicide is what
you're
looking for. That's okay.
Thank you.
Yep. unfortunately, nothing that's going to be a quick-acting killing agent.
Right.
And that's probably a good thing, because most nematodes that live in the soil are beneficial. People don't hear a lot about them because we worry about the bad ones. And so we're worried. We want to control the ones that are feeding on the roots of crops, and because of obvious reasons.
Right.
But they represent 5% of the total number of nematodes that might be in that soil. And all these nematodes are part of nature. So that's been the struggle. We could nuke the soil, for lack of a better word, but we would create more problems than we'd be solving. So it's figuring out a way to control this critter without doing broader damage.
Is there any natural occurring happening event that will take them out?
There are things that live in the soil that eat nematodes.
Okay.
And some of them even are specific for soybean cyst nematode. But we've never been able to figure out how to manipulate them or add them to a new field for control.
Okay.
And there's a general concept of suppressive soil. So there are soils that have bad SCN that eventually they don't have bad SCN, and there was no management involved. We think it's just that all the natural critters that feed on nematodes, on soybean cyst nematode, build up and they suppress the nematode. But we haven't been smart enough to figure out how to manipulate that for crop production.
Okay, so on the research side then, who's heading up the research? Mm-hmm. Who's paying for it?
So Soybean Checkoff pays the great majority of soybean cyst nematode research, either at the state level. There's a regional North Central Soybean Research Program, and then the National United Soybean Board. I would say for university research, those organizations have funded 80% of all SCN research.
Yeah.
There's research probably going on in private industry. We don't hear as much about it because things are kept under wraps until they have a product ready to launch or so forth.
Right.
But most of the research we hear of is the soybean farmers paying for it through the checkoff.
Right, ultimately. Right, absolutely. What's the goal, Caitlin? Where do we want to end up in management of SCN?
Really, the goal is for farmers to realize higher yields. And so management is about, it's that active process and understanding how looking at the SCN egg numbers that you have in your soil this year when you take that test this fall, and seeing what those numbers are and then applying different management strategies and then going back to that same field in 3 or 4 years, taking another test and seeing those numbers go down. That's really what we want farmers to see, and that's what the coalition is really all about.
Yeah, yeah, build up those yields, get our returns better. Let's talk about sampling, okay? What's the proper way to do it? Who wants that question?
So SCN sampling, really the way that I've been talking a lot about it this year, especially in those fields that have had problems with flooding and water movement. When you're breaking up a field into areas, you're looking at segments as small as possible. You can break them down into, oftentimes we talk about 10 to 20 acre segments, but if that's too small of an area, up to 40 acres is what I've been talking about. You want to get it as small of an area as possible because that's the more accurate your count will be. You want to break up the field into management zones or areas where you may have had flooding, those higher ridges, breaking it down into areas that are representative of different parts of the field. And that really will give you an idea of how your populations or your egg levels are different in different parts of the field. And then keeping track of that, so you have a map and a management strategy for those different areas.
Right. Where do we send it?
There are testing labs all over the U.S., and those are actually available to look up on the SCNcoalition.com.
Okay.
There are experts also available to look up on that website as well if you want more information.
And it's a reasonable cost.
They are at a reasonable cost, and some states even offer that for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Greg, when the economic conditions are as tough as they are right now, you got to put every ball in your court.
Yep. Yeah, and I think sometimes I sense farmers are depressed, and so they don't want to put the extra effort in, but it's more important now than ever.
Yeah.
Because, as I said earlier, it's free money. If they discover they've got the problem and they can improve their management with very little cost, just the sampling cost and so forth, that's more important now than when we have $16 beans, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, it really is critical.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Caitlin, it's good to see you again. Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
All
thanks.
Right, that is Caitlin Bissonette. She is a plant pathologist at the University of Missouri. And, Greg, it was good to talk with you.
Yep, fellow Cyclone.
Yeah, that's right. Greg Tilka, nematologist at Iowa State University. Davis and I will be right back to wrap up this Labor Day edition of AgriTalk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. unbiased, and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
It's the world's largest totally irrigated working farm show. Irrigation and so much more. Make your plans to be at Grand Island, Nebraska for the 42nd annual Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th. Get more information at huskerharvestdays.com. There'll be more than 600 exhibitors at the nation's most modern outdoor farm show site. Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th at Grand Island, Nebraska. See the show program online now at huskerharvestdays.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
And welcome back to this Labor Day edition of AgriTalk.
Yes.
Boy. Yeah, it's always good to be away from the markets, isn't it?
It is. It is. Just a little breather.
Yeah, unfortunately, you barely get a chance. Barely get a chance to get away from the markets that you cover all the time, dude.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They're always in the right in the front of my mind.
And think about it. It's heating up right now. Guys are it's always phenomenal to me that as soon as the guys get in the combine cab, that's when some of the fertilizer retailers out there start making phone calls. Hey, Bob, you need to be paying attention. I got this deal going on right now. Mm-hmm. And it gets a little tough to keep track of, you know, what is a good price in my area? And, of course, you've got a way to make sure that people do know and understand if they're dealing with a competitive price or not, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, what we offer are averages within each crop district on that 12-state area, and that can really at least help you position yourself, even if you're just looking at the trend, because there are little charts that go along with it too, so you can see where prices have been and compare to what that phone call has to say to you and with what we've found too.
Yeah, what we're talking about is Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. This segment that you guys are about to hear is something that we do every Friday on the afternoon show.
That's right.
But we thought, let's change it up a bit. Let's
mix
give
it up.
The guys that listen in the morning a taste of what they're missing out on when they don't listen to the afternoon show every Friday. And that is the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report.
This holiday edition of the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor for weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest. And in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Yes?
A holiday edition
of
the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report on Monday. Good morning, everyone. Hello. Normally we do this on Friday afternoons. I'm a little freaked out right now.
It's okay. Deep breath. It'll be fine.
It's like it's my first time on the radio right now. fertilizers generally lower, although urea did post an increase this week. We'll get to that. Let's start with anhydrous ammonia. We've been watching anhydrous very closely. And if we compare this week's price with last year, the same week, we're priced above last year by about $30 per short ton. Chip, that's a lot better than we expected to be seeing. Last week we were down like $13. And here we are this week down $3.70 by the short ton. Now, where did those declines come from? Well, I've got Wisconsin down like $30 on the week per short ton. Indiana down $9. All the others either unchanged or just mildly changed. I've got Iowa up $2.11, Illinois 83 cents higher this week. Now, I've still got the I states as the three most expensive states on my survey.
All right.
When you talk about that phone call that you get, I've gotten a few emails, a few texts in the past couple of days talking about, well, we've got a deal for you on anhydrous, but you got to book it before, you know. Some of them were SEPT 1, which kind of has come and gone now. There were others for a SEPT 15 book date. Okay. You pay up by September 15. You can take advantage of that lower price. If you're looking to put down fall anhydrous, I would recommend getting in touch with your preferred retailer and finding out where they're at. And like we said earlier, you can compare that price to what we observed on our survey. If you're not familiar with what we do, we take a weekly survey of retail fuels and fertilizer prices. Moving on through the rest of our survey, I've got phosphate here down. Very interesting developments in phosphate this week. DAP is down just 98 cents. MAP is down 575, but both are now priced below year ago. Chip, it's been a long time that we've repeated the mantra, phosphate is overpriced compared to the rest of the fertilizer segment.
Yep.
You know, and I understand there's a question of you've got to walk that line between what you've got banked in your soil and what you want to replace in a year like this, given, you know, given where farm income is at and given that we're working with a little bit tighter budget here. But phosphates are definitely giving us a bit of a wink here, a nice little opportunity that we haven't seen in quite a while. DAP now priced at $490.81 regionally, and here's MAP at $491.63, both of them priced a fair amount below year ago. So if you did all right booking phosphate last year about this time, you'll probably do all right again this year, given that we're priced below that. Vitamin K, potash, down 37 cents this week, $387.13. UAN, 28% off, $1.25. Regionally there, for a regional average of $266.91. 32% down, 85 cents, $299.17. A listener emailed me, said his guy says 32% is set to take off here. Not sure how much demand there's going to be for 32% in the fall. However, if you're looking ahead to spring, and if your retailer is able to book out to spring, you might want to get in front of that. I'll be looking into that, and we can talk more about that in the future. Urea is higher. Like I said, we're up 230. We spoke with someone earlier last week about that wholesale urea price. Looks like it may have placed a bottom. Urea has been a price leader in the nitrogen segment, but it's definitely moving in the opposite direction from anhydrous ammonia right now. And I would prefer the rest of the nitrogen segment to follow anhydrous rather than urea. We're going to have to wait and see how that shakes out. Gotcha. Ruby Red, farm diesel up a penny. We still have some work to do here to book for harvest, but we're up a cent on the week to $2.40. Compare that to $2.51 the same week last year. And here we are with LP. We're down 2 cents on LP now at $1.14. Get filled on propane. You're going to need it.
Yep.
If there's one thing we're finding out here, we're going to need plenty of propane. All told, Nutrient Composite Index off 1.93 points to 598.84. Get more details at ProFarmer.com. Chip.
All right. Thank you, Davis. Appreciate that. And hey, everybody, that's a taste of what to expect in the fourth segment every Friday. Mm-hmm. In the afternoon on the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. And, of course, ProFarmer.com. Look for the link to Inputs Monitor, right, Davis?
Yep, that's right. There's a little tab at the top of the ProFarmer.com there. You click on that, and you can go specifically to fertilizer. You can go to fuels. And one of the things that, and I will confess, we're just a little behind what we post right there on ProFarmer.com. But, you know, from time to time, we've got advice, too. So,
all right.
That's also something to keep in mind.
We certainly hope that you are having a great Labor Day weekend. You got to come back this afternoon. We've got a great conversation with Steve Nicholson from Robo Agrofinance, Bill Biederman from AgMarket.net, and Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. That's this afternoon right here on AgriTalk.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.